8:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now, our film study expert, Ken McCusick. What's going on, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
Life is good, too. Life is good, too. Again, before we get into the schedule and everything else, Adarius Washington injured, Achilles injury. He is probably gone for the season.
Yeah, it's a tragic. It'll probably force a couple of moves because they were really a safety down before this happened. A guy who could play the back end, allow Hamilton to move up. And they thought, you know, you have Malachi Starks, maybe you have it, but it really doesn't leave you the leeway right of one extra that you need for any particular game. The Ravens have been forced into Hamilton on the back end a number of times because they've lost a safety in game. So anyway, now they're looking for two. Chuck Clark, a possibility. He's out there. I think he'd be a good guy to plug in on the back end. Hopefully he'd be at the vet minimum, and he'd be a guy who wouldn't let you down in terms of positioning. I think they'll look at Kane and Braid in camp, and they need to find somebody who's out there on the market, I think.
You know how much I like him, and since he joined the team, I was so happy. He started 10 games last year, played very well. He's out for the season. How does this bode for his future, though? Because it's such a...
Yeah, I mean, it, first of all, for him, it's a personal tragedy that he loses a big opportunity to get a bite of the apple after this season. He's making good money in terms of the RFA tender. He's got 3-point-something million this year. Mm-hmm. But he could have been in position to probably earn a $5 million per year contract after this.
Yeah.
Or the Ravens could have re-signed him at some point before the season played out for, 3 years, $12 million or something. But anyway, now it'll make it more difficult. I think he'll be on a prove-it contract somewhere next year. I hope it's in Baltimore, but there's no guarantees.
Right. Hey, Ken, as we start to look at, obviously, this team and the way things are coming together, how do you feel about the depth? Because we were talking about what they did with Derrick Henry freeing up some money. Are they going to be very active, in your opinion, with the June 1st cuts, or do you think the roster's pretty much set and then maybe a few pieces here to fill?
I don't think there are a lot of big cuts to come. The two fourth-year players who were in significant jeopardy that I can think of right off the top of my head are JAD and David Ajabo. Both those guys are at the bottom end of the totem pole. JAD's chance to make the team probably actually improved a little bit with the Washington injury because that puts pressure on Humphrey to play more slot, which means there's an extra opening on the outside. And all three of the guys, the two sixth-round picks and JAD, all have a chance at that spot.
Kim McCusick joins us. FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Again, you have this point system for the schedule release. The Ravens at a +4, Browns at a -11, Steelers at a -21, and the Bengals at a +7. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your point system and how you came with this.
Sure. So it looks at various schedule factors in terms of incremental rest being a significant thing, but also that's the when of the schedule. So a lot of your callers will call in today and say, we got such a tough schedule because we got the Chiefs and the Bills and what. All that was determined right at the end of last year where you play those games.
The way it works.
Yeah, where you play those games and who you play is already determined. This is the when do you play them. Okay. So basically this says, how much did the schedule people screw you? Okay. When they put together the schedule. So, for example, the Ravens have two opponents who are coming off Thursday games, which is like a half bye. That's a bad thing, and so they got -3 points for that. They got two Monday night football games themselves. It's -1 for that. They got no opponent coming off Monday night football, which is a significant disadvantage.
Short weeks, man. They matter.
Yeah, they do matter. You want to get them for your opponents. So actually, the Chiefs get one from the Ravens, which is a painful one. But here's the big one. They don't have any opponent coming off a bye. That's the second straight season, I believe, that's been true. They have an extra game on Thursday, which is fantastic. And then they have a divisional game on Thursday against the Bengals, which is an enormous scheduling advantage that doesn't completely show up in the points system. So it's something I think...
You don't like the week 7 bye either because you got a negative 2.
Yeah, it's a -2. The average buys in week 9, I just do for everyone early, it's -1. For everyone late, it's +1.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump you, but like when you're doing this, what about the 3 straight road games? Because it's kind of an anomaly. Shouldn't there be something negative for that, or do you think it's kind of factored in because you start with the Thursday game on the road, and then the way everything else works out for you, you finish with some tougher opponents?
Thursday game on the road last year, you're talking about?
No, this year. I'm saying
they started on Sunday, right?
So yeah, hold on, let me go back to this. With the way that the schedule's set up, you have at Miami Dolphins on a Thursday night.
Gotcha, okay.
At Vikings, at Browns. Like, that third game is always so difficult because you're not used to having three straight road games.
I mean, it's a valid point. I don't have anything for consecutive games if you're playing a Sunday. It would be something that would be reasonable to come up with in a subjective adjustment. I think their hardest stretch is obviously early in the season where they play all the tough opponents and they play a lot of home games during that stretch, which is at least nice.
Yeah, they're home for a while.
Yeah. Derek Henry, I have no secret here. He's probably one of my favorite NFL players when he wasn't a Raven. Now it's cemented. Gets that, you know, an extension. People, you know, are going to criticize because running backs shouldn't be signed up past 30. He's a different cat, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, you know, you and I grew up with Nolan Ryan as a pitcher. And Nolan Ryan was completely different from every other pitcher in baseball. Maintained his great fastball into his mid-40s, really into his late 40s. And I think he's more like Nolan Ryan as being a complete outlier that you can't make any rules based on than anybody else. And I always hate that being done, by the way. It makes me very uncomfortable and nervous to have the outlier. Yeah. But in this case, after watching him play for a year and you know, watch some of the things he does with his body during the offseason, I think Lamar might be a similar outlier. The thing that's so great about Lamar is every year he comes to camp being in some way significantly better as a quarterback. Last year he was distributing the football like crazy. I mean, just it's great to have players like this who you can depend on to be working during the offseason at the highest level.
Yeah, you're right about that because they don't all work. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had that before. Cam McKusick, tell us the schedule real quick before you get out of here. Is this a 10-win team again this year?
I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead with the website stuff. Yes. Okay. So the expectation series is going on right now. I encourage people to give that a shot. We look at two players, one offense and one defense, every day now for about 2 months. There's 30 episodes of this. And then the full scoring for the schedule will be out there on Friday morning GM if you want to hear the breakdown.
Thanks a lot. That's on Film Study?
FilmStudyBaltimore.com.